The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, life has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went all around Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The gospel of the Lord.
If I only knew then what I know now, I'd have been a dangerous man. Everybody's muttered that at one time or another, right? Mostly it means, wish I had some of the wisdom back then that I have now. Wish that I had the insight to recognize what was important, what is important, what is lasting, what is sustaining, life-giving, and what is just frivolous and shouldn't bother me. A lot of times it goes with choices that we have made in the past. Gosh, if only I had had some wisdom back then. I think we all reach those moments in our lives. And sometimes it's lots of different times in our lives, where we just have a clearer understanding of what is serious, where we recognize what we need to do, who we need to be, where we understand what is sustaining and important and what shouldn't be important. When we reach those moments, we have a choice. We can either just roll over, give up, and say, well, this is how it is. This is who I am. Nothing's going to change. Or it's times to take stock of ourselves, reevaluate, reinvent ourselves. That is never easy. Change is never, ever easy. Even if the change is for the good, it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of courage to shift gears and move in a different direction. And I think we're seeing some of that in the gospel this morning. Everybody in the gospel is changing course. They're all heading in a new direction. We hear about the disciples being called by Jesus. A lot of times we think of those first disciples as young, impetuous, daring, and adventurous. Well, they had established careers. At the time and place, they were rather mature, as was Jesus. At this point in Matthew's gospel, This is the dawning of Jesus' public ministry. This passage pretty much his coming out party. A recap of Matthew's gospel up to this point. We hear of his birth. They flee to Egypt, come back to Nazareth. Then we hear of John the Baptist baptizing everyone and everything. And Jesus' baptism. And after his baptism, we hear that he wanders in the desert and the temptations. And now this passage. John is arrested, and Jesus withdraws. Matthew's gospel seems like the adult stories that we hear of Jesus up to this point. His baptism, his wandering in the desert, that all that takes place in a few months. Who knows? Could have been years to reach this point in his life. What we do know is that he is different. He is focused. Now he knows what he needs to do and who he needs to be. He comes out preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He's teaching, he's healing, curing, proclaiming the word, establishing the kingdom wherever he goes. And the disciples seem to recognize this as well. They too change course, head in a new direction. Some effort, a lot of courage. They drop everything and follow him. And so for a disciple 2,000 years ago, for a disciple today, we can always shift courses with God. Always reevaluate, reinvent ourselves, start anew, begin again with God. It's never too late for a disciple. It's never too late to do what we need to do, to be who we need to become the people that God calls us to be. Now, one of the things that I need to do is tell you all about the annual Catholic Appeal. You like that segue? It took hours. But we are beginning the annual Catholic Appeal. And so over the next few weeks, I invite and beg all of you to pray and discern how we all, communally and individually, will be a part of this year's appeal. We are the parish of Corpus Christi. We're on the east side of the city of Tucson. But we belong to something greater than just this parish, something bigger than ourselves. We are part of the Church of Tucson, the Diocese of Tucson, pretty much the southern half of Arizona. And we cannot minister, proclaim the good news to everyone in southern Arizona. We do our part, and part of that is helping the diocese at large to minister to everyone throughout southern Arizona. And so over the next few weeks, pray about how we're going to make this annual appeal a success. We have three goals, same three goals as every year. The first, to make our goal. And I have no doubt we've done that for years. You are a very generous people. The second is the first parish in the diocese to make our goal, because that gives your pastor bragging rights. And it's not a boast of me, but as Paul would say, I boast because of you. And our third goal is that we all are a part of the appeal, that each and every one of us participates in one way or another. I'm not going to tell you how to participate. I'm not going to tell you how much you have to pledge or whatever. Everybody is in a different situation, but we all can be a part of the appeal by participating. At the very least, saying, I am praying for its success. I am hoping and praying that this year's appeal is a success. That is participating. I'm begging you not to be apathetic, not to ignore it, but to recognize that this is part of what we do as the Church of Tucson, that we build up the mission of the Church throughout Southern Arizona the best way that we as this parish can. We'll be hearing more about the appeal over the next couple weeks, and pray, discern how we're going to be a part of it.